The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Right now, let's talk about the census data that was released today. The population of Ireland, of the 26 counties, at its highest since pre-famine times. Now, 5.12 million people are living here, an increase of 8% in 6 years. And at that rate of increase, we'd be touching on 6 million in the census after next. 64,000 more women than men, interestingly, in the census data. Well, Jill O'Mahony is with me now. Jill is a sociology lecturer at the South East Technological University. Jill, what stands out for you amongst today's figures?
Hi, Kieran. I suppose what stood out was that of that increase, you've got half that are immigrants into the country and then half are, you know, natural increases in the population through births, etc. So you've got a kind of a really nice balance there. There are a few things to consider. Of course, you know, there's a lot of positives and we can come back to that in a second. But I suppose, you know, the elephant in the room is housing, and we do, you know, need to move on that sooner rather than later and really kind of deal with the housing issue in a very kind of innovative way. Because we need to get kind of different types of housing available for the future population of Ireland, which is increasing so significantly.
All right. OK, so I suppose little warning flags for planning, housing,
absolutely,
education,
yeah,
health and all of those things, I assume. But I mean, when you talk about the changing demographics of the country as well and the changing look of the country, I guess at some level it ultimately and will eventually changes our definition of what Irishness is, doesn't it?
Do you know what? I find this an interesting one. You know, when you ask somebody what does it mean to be Irish, often they're kind of stumped. I mean, I even do it, you know, in my day job in classes. You know, what does it mean to be Irish? And people often aren't quite sure. You know, so even if you want to take some of the, you know, the big stalwarts of Irish culture, the GAA obviously comes to mind. But you've got kind of people coming into Ireland, engaging, integrating within that culture, encouraging it and promoting it. So you've got, you know, people like Abu Dhabi, who are promoting the Irish culture through the GAA, through sport, in a really positive way. And although the cultural landscape of Ireland is changing, I think it's in a more inclusive way and in a positive way. I think we're only gaining from a lot of this immigration that's coming in. You know, we're in an increasingly globalized world, and it's never a bad thing to understand other cultures and to develop our understanding of the world for our children and for us, because the world is changing so quickly, and we're all becoming closer to one another, you know. And I think the war in Ukraine has really kind of highlighted that as well.
Yemi Adenuga is with us as well. She's a Fine Gael councillor in Navan and County Meath. Her family are originally from Nigeria. Yemi, I mean, inward migration is, relatively speaking, kind of a new phenomenon in Ireland. And I mean that in the sense of it's new over the last kind of 15 to 20 years. We've still gotten 2 decades to get used to it. I mean, do you think we've done that? We've all gotten used to this idea that, you know, there is kind of a new look to Ireland?
We haven't yet, Kieran. I think we're still getting used to it. There's still a lot of learning. I think that we can take a note from some of the advanced countries that have, over the years, had many diverse communities join them, say like the US or the UK. And we can learn from them the things that have worked and the things that haven't worked. And what we have, or what we've had over the last 20 plus years, is an opportunity to create our own model of what true integration looks like, or what it could look like. And we have tried as a country to do that, and we've designed and developed so many integration strategies. Some of them were good on the shelf. In practice, they didn't really work. And what we should be doing now, and what we should be considering, given the increase in the population, and as was mentioned earlier on, having Ukrainians join us in the country, what we should be doing then is doing a review of what we've tried in times past, what has worked and what hasn't worked, and then what can we do? And we need to start asking questions of For example, in a citizens' assembly, how many migrant voices are represented at the table? When we talk about representation in the different spheres in public offices, on television, on radio, in diverse workplaces, how many migrant voices are represented there? We need to think about those things. And then at workplaces, do they have policies that don't just talk about the fact that they have a diverse workforce, but also explain how they sustain and ensure that those diverse workforces and the value that they bring up is created. So I think this we should take this opportunity with this the outcome of the census to review what we've done in the last 20 plus years and be open to new ways of doing things. You know, if we want to do things the same old way and expect to get a different result, they say it's the recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So it's our opportunity to look at new ways of doing it. I think we have a huge advantage that other countries didn't have. We're learning. They've been there, done that, wearing the T-shirt now. We can take so many lessons from there. But we need to include the diverse voices as a decision-making table.
Well, can I ask for any examples that spring to mind for you then, Yemi, when you say, you know, we need to look back over those 20 years and say, right, these are the things that have worked, these are the things that haven't worked. What has and hasn't?
Okay, so I'll give you an example. When I first came to Ireland in 2000, some 22 years ago, I was sitting in my living room one day listening to a program on RTE, and it was asking for people from the new community, to if they wanted to engage with an Irish family, to get in touch with the number. I must have listened to that promo for about 12 or 15 times before I finally picked up the phone to call the number, and I did. When I did, I was connected to an Irish family. The family did not just become my family friends; they became family for me. Now, that was an example of something that was done consistently. It wasn't just a 1 week, 2 week thing. It ran for a very long time. And somewhat was like propaganda, you know, the way you do something over and over again and it grows on you. That's one thing that worked well at the time. Now, I'm still surprised why it stopped. I think we can take a leaf from that. And when we are when government or organizations are being funded, government is funding projects that want to support integration, we should look at ways to consistently keep those projects going. And it's not just a one-off or a periodic thing that ends suddenly. And it has to be ongoing until it goes to people. We need the media to do a good bit of work of helping educate people about the diverse cultures we have. People just see, they just hear about these things. Ask how many people know their neighbors that are from diverse backgrounds. Not many people do.
Can I go back to Jill for a moment? Jill, this is an important discussion to be had, and I'd like to kind of come back with it, this idea of Irish identity and everything as well. But just another thought struck me as well, looking at the figures as they were released today, and it's that narrative of population decline in parts of Ireland. You know, that there are areas in the country that are just bleeding people and are being hollowed out. Now, on a kind of a parish by parish level, they might well be, but on a county by county level, the figures today would suggest that everywhere is increasing in population.
It would. I mean, obviously we need to dive deeper into those stats because we don't know exactly where the figures are going up and going down in terms of, like, if you're talking about Louth or if you're talking about Roscommon, where are the you know, the breakdown of numbers within that county, and might be interesting to kind of get a better grasp of what's going on. But certainly across the island of Ireland, you've got an increase in every county in terms of numbers. And I think what that shows is that, you know, we are increasing exponentially in terms of our population. It is both by, you know, births, but also by immigration. And we do need to start dealing with this issue, dealing with it now. And I think kind of reassessing our understanding of what maybe immigration is. Immigration is a positive thing. Without people paying tax, You know, we gain an awful lot from people migrating inward. You know, we really do.
Yeah.
People pay tax. Mm. People give back to the society. We need people paying tax if we want to have pensions when we're older, if we want to, pump more funding into the education sector, pump more funding into the healthcare. So really, we're benefiting from, you know, people coming over to Ireland and making Ireland their home. And I think we need to kind of absolutely, you know, go by what other countries have done both wrong and right and kind of try to learn from, you know, ourselves and make Ireland a kind of an Ireland for the future rather than looking backwards, you know.
In terms of the near future, let me introduce Adrian Kennedy, the lecturer in Maynooth Department of Geography. Adrian, there's going to be political implications, I understand, from today's census data. Adrian Kavanagh, my apologies. Adrian, we might have more TDs in the next Dáil, is that right?
We will have more TDs in the next Dáil, Kieran, because of the constitutional, the rule in the constitution that says there has to be at least one TD per 30,000 people. Based on that, the smallest number of TDs we can have in the next general election is 171. Now, a few weeks ago, they did give a range of seats for the next constituency commission to work with, which, as far as I remember, it was put between 169 seats and 179. 169 and 170 isn't possible anymore because of the size of the population increase in this census. In reality, I suspect the Constituency Commission might go with a bigger number this time round, more or less as it did in 2012, because what we've seen in the three Constituency Commission revisions we'll have had, including this one, is the seat numbers keep changing the whole time. So for some potential of consistency, they might go with a number like 176 or 178 next time, because if they go with 172 seats this time round, the likelihood is they'll probably have to change the number again at the next
constituency. So they might just future-proof it for one or two elections if they can. So do we know, and can you look at the figures today and just point at particular constituencies and say that's now a four-seater, that's now a five-seater?
Yeah, there's Dublin looks, based on the numbers, I did a bit of crunching the numbers, Kieran. It looks as if Dublin will probably pick up five more seats. Probably the constituencies in the north, the Fine Gael constituency, is the most likely to pick up a lot of seats. But there's going to be seats picked up all over Dublin. For instance, either Dublin Rathdown or Dunleary will gain a seat. Outside of Dublin, between them, Kildare and Meath will gain two seats. But it might be a half seat on one side because there might need to be a bit of boundary rejigging. The two Midland constituencies will gain two seats between them. Wexford will go from five seats to six, but at the moment that means that Wexford, for instance, will have to be divided into a Wexford West and Wexford East or Wexford North.
Oh, you can't. Wait, we can't have six-seater constituencies, no?
The Constitution doesn't prohibit it, but the Electoral Acts since 1947 have said the range of seats you have to go with are three, four, or five. Now, it's simply, if the Dáil and the Shannon, if the new Electoral Act was passed through the Dáil and the Shannon in the next few weeks to say you can have six-seaters, that would be possible. You can change it by legislation. And to be honest, on these numbers, I think it makes a lot of sense because otherwise there's going to be a lot more breaches of county boundaries than you would have otherwise. If you could have six-seaters. If you had six-seaters, you could keep Carlow and Kilkenny together in one constituency. Otherwise, we're going to have a Carlow North Kilkenny and a rest of Kilkenny. And people in Ireland, particularly in rural Ireland, hate county boundary breaches. I know it myself from the last time when I was in Port Arrington and added on to Kildare. People hate being that part of a county that's just added on to another constituency to make up the numbers.
Yeah. Well, in the aforementioned Carlow, I think a bit of it is in Wicklow for electoral purposes.
Long time, yeah.
And they're not too fond of that fact, in fact, so you're quite right.
It was changed, admittedly, in 2017, Kieran, but it was the case for many decades.
Listen, it's fascinating what way they're gonna do it, and I'm sure Adrian, a man like yourself, finds it doubly fascinating. And we appreciate you crunching some of those numbers for us. Adrian Kavanagh is a lecturer in the Department of Geography in Maynooth University. Plenty still to come on the Hard Shoulder today, including our profile of Elvis Presley from none other than Joe Wall from the Stunning. And after the break, this peculiar new feature on your home speaker. Stay tuned to find out.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.